From Spark and Anvil and Beatforge, this is Crest, in Chapter 1 of the Beatforge cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced by Gemini 2.5. Crest lived at the very edge of the academy grounds, where the manicured lawns gave way to wild marsh. His classroom was a perfectly round stone dome, built directly over a spring-fed pond. To get inside, you walked down a damp wooden boardwalk, smelling of moss and old rain. If you visited Crest, you had to be prepared for the weather. It was always humid inside the dome, and the air carried a heavy pre-storm stillness that made your hair curl. Crest was a bullfrog, but he did not look like the ones you found hiding under muddy riverbanks. He was a wide, cheerful bullfrog tween who wore a heavy rubber rain slicker the color of a wet slate shingle. His throat was a pale, loose pouch of skin that could inflate to the size of a small melon. When he got excited, which happened almost constantly, his entire body seemed to expand with air. He would swell up like a rising tide, hold it for a second, and then slowly settle back down into his boots. Pip walked in holding her heavy wooden drum against her ribs. Her fingers were slick from the humidity, and she nearly slipped on the wet floorboards. The rest of the class filed in behind her, their boots squeaking against the cedar planks. They lined up along the edge of the deep water, staring at the middle of the room. "Ah, students," Crest boomed. The single word exploded off the curved stone walls with the force of a physical blow. It was so loud that Pip gasped and gripped her drum tighter, her knuckles turning white. The sound vibrated right through the soles of her shoes. But before anyone could cover their ears, Crest shrunk. His throat deflated like a punctured balloon, and he finished the sentence in a tiny, paper-thin whisper. "So glad you came." The class stood frozen. Nobody blinked. In the span of 3 seconds, Crest had transformed from a roaring foghorn into a shared secret.
Sorry, Crest said, his voice returning to a normal, conversational volume. He adjusted the collar of his rain slicker and offered an apologetic grin. "I get carried away in this dome. The acoustics are a bit too perfect. But actually, that little trick? That is the entire lesson today. That is dynamics." He reached down and picked up a wide wooden pottle. Floating on the dark surface of the pond were several flat, skin-covered drums that drifted like oversized lily pads. Crest tapped one with the paddle. "Bomb!" The deep note rolled across the water, shaking the reflection of the copper lanterns hanging from the ceiling. Then he tapped it again, but this time his wrist barely moved as the paddle brushed the skin like a falling leaf. Dynamics is just the musical term for how loud or how soft a sound is, but it is more than just a volume knob, Crest explained. It is about the way the volume changes and shifts while the music is actually playing. He raised his paddle and struck the drum 4 times. Each strike used the exact same force. Bomb, 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 bomb. "There," Crest said, shrugging his broad shoulders. "Every beat is identical, which is perfectly fine, but it feels like a flat stone wall with nothing happening behind it." He paused, letting the silence settle back over the dark water. Then he raised the paddle again. This time, he started with the barest touch, letting each strike grow steadily heavier than the last. Bomb, 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 bomb. The final strike was so powerful that a ring of sharp ripples shot outward, splashing against the wet wooden boardwalk. "Now it is a wave," Crest said, his eyes bright. "It rises from nothing, swells up toward a peak, the crest, and then it crashes over you." He grinned, showing a wide, toothless mouth that stretched almost from ear to ear. "That is why they call me Crest, because I do not just play the music, I ride the swell."
Pip looked down at her own drum, gripping her wooden mallet with slightly sweaty palms as she took a deep breath. She struck the center of the skin, trying to copy his pattern with her own hands. Her first beat was a soft tap, the second was slightly firmer, and the third began to rumble. By the fourth beat, she brought her arm down hard, sending a sharp crack echoing off the stone ceiling. It sounds like something is coming, Pip said, looking up at the high dome as the sound faded. It feels like a thunderstorm rolling over the hills.
Yes, Crest boomed, his throat swelling instantly like a balloon. He caught himself, winced, and immediately dialed his voice back down to a gentle, conspiratorial murmur.
Yes, exactly. Getting louder, little by little. Musicians call that a crescendo, he explained, tapping his paddle against his knee. It is the sound of tension building up, like a storm approaching, or a crowd slowly rising to their feet. He took his paddle and played the four beats backward, starting with a heavy strike and letting each hit fade away.
Bomb. Bomb. Bomb.
When you go the other way, getting quieter little by little, that is a decrescendo, Crest said. That is the storm finally passing over the mountain, or a crowd sitting back down as the excitement fades. He puffed his throat out and let the air escape in a slow, whistling hiss that sounded like deflating tires. Loud is not better than soft, he said, leaning forward over the water so his shadows stretched across the pond. That is the mistake almost every beginner makes, because they think music is just a contest to make noise. But a song that is loud the whole way through is just exhausting, like a friend who only ever shouts. The real magic is in the change, where you need the quiet parts to make the loud parts matter.
Here is the part that nobody ever expects, Crest said. And now he did something truly strange. He brought his voice down, lower and lower, until he was speaking so quietly that the entire class had to stop breathing just to hear him.
Sometimes the quietest part of a song is actually the most powerful part of all.
The room went completely dead still, leaving only the tiny rhythmic lap of water against the wooden boardwalk. Everyone in the class leaned forward over the water, their ears straining to catch his whispered words. In that sudden silence, Pip felt a strange realization wash over her as she stared at the dark pond. The quietness was not weak. It had reached out across the water and pulled the entire room toward him. Nobody looked away, and nobody dared to make even the slightest sound for fear of breaking the spell.
Do you see what just happened?
Crest whispered, his wide eyes reflecting the dim lantern light.
I got softer, and all of you got closer to hear me.
He leaned in even further, his heavy rubber slicker rustling softly in the damp air.
A loud sound pushes at you, but a soft sound pulls you in, he whispered. When you drop the volume way down right before you swell it back up, you make the whole room lean toward you.
He paused, holding them in the palm of his hand for one long, breathless second.
And then
he slammed his paddle down onto the nearest floating drum. Boom! The sudden sound exploded through the dome, making everyone jump before they burst into startled laughter.
When the lesson finally wound down, the other students filed out, but Pip stayed behind to help Crest tie up the floating drums. She knelt on the wet boardwalk, looping a rough hemp rope through the metal rings on the side of each drum. It is kind of like feelings, she said slowly, watching her hands work the coarse rope. The soft parts and the loud parts, I mean. Crest went still, his throat remaining calm for once as his large golden eyes fixed on her. That is exactly what it is, he said, his voice neither a booming foghorn nor a tiny whisper. It was just warm, even, and remarkably real. A song without dynamics feels flat because you do not feel flat, Crest said, sitting back on his haunches. You have quiet mornings where you barely want to speak, and you have roaring afternoons where you want to shout from the rooftops. He watched a small green leaf drift slowly across the dark surface of the pond. Music that never changes its volume cannot hold a heart like yours, he continued, his voice softening. Your heart is always swelling and easing throughout the day, and your music should do the same. He reached out and let his wide, webbed hand settle on the water,
sending a gentle ripple across the quiet pond. "So when you play, do not just strike the notes on the page," he said. "Play the rising and the falling, and let the song breathe big and small, the way you do." Pip looked out at the dark water, where the tiny waves from his hand were still moving. They grew softer and softer until the surface of the pond went completely smooth again. She felt a similar sensation in her own chest, a sudden swell followed by a gentle, quiet settling. It was the most peaceful she had felt all week.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to CREST. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.